Welcome to the Q Convos podcast.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Q Convos podcast with Initiative for Equal Rights. My name is Fidelia, and today I'll be talking with Chiamaka about how the threats to the safety and security of queer women affect their quality of life and takes away their freedom of expression. The freedom of expression, which is a fundamental human right guaranteed by the Nigerian Constitution, is one that LGBT persons are not free to enjoy. Queer women are often attacked for having gender expressions that deviate from the way that society expects women to look. Masculine presenting women are harassed, attacked, sexually assaulted, disowned by family, and just discriminated because they refuse to conform to gender norms. When queer people make posts online about their intimate partners, they are harassed by strangers and very often put on display by homophobic media houses and blogs and Instagram pages, which leads to disruption of their lives. Queer women cannot imagine a future in Nigeria where they live as their true selves and they continue to live in constant fear of being outed. Hi, Chiamaka. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi.
Can you tell me about yourself briefly?
Sure. My name is Chiamaka. I write. I just turned 23.
Oh.
And bisexual.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I like using the umbrella term queer. I don't mind it.
It's a very beautiful term.
Of course, not for heterosexuals to use.
Of course.
Yeah, I don't mind the term.
Okay. Let's just jump right into it. What are some of the things that make queer women generally unsafe in Nigeria?
Okay. So I think, for example, one of the most violent things I've heard about is people's families, trying to get them correctionally assaulted and stuff, mm-hmm. Setting them up to, basically be assaulted by men just to change their sexuality because they think that that's going to work or fix them. And also I think if you are masculine presenting, for example, there's always the threat of, being outed or everybody knowing that you are queer. And I think, even women who are femme, they have this people go through your phone. I've heard of people being ketoed because someone went through their phone and found out that they had a relationship with someone else and then they set them up. So that is one of the most violent forms. But then there's always just general latent homophobia, everyday homophobia that is not as violent, but then also harms and makes you just feel generally scared to be outside and talk to people.
What role does the media in Nigeria play in endangering the lives of queer people?
So, I mean, one of the first things I've seen about, I remember there's this person who got married. There was the gay man who got married and Linda Ekeji posted his photo and he ended up going to his family because he lives in New York, but then he ended up spreading to right. Nigerians and he just faced threats. I mean, there was a whole thing about it and mm-hmm. I think he was going to sue. But then I think that's just Nigerian media in general. They have this very strange way of, placing, for example, in Nollywood movies, they'll mm-hmm. set up queer women to be dangers to heterosexual marriages or heterosexual relationships where okay, there's a queer woman and then, she ends up working for this married couple and sleeping with the wife or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah,
most of the Nollywood movies I've seen where there's a lesbian or there's a bisexual woman, she's usually trying to get someone's wife. And I don't know why that is the consensus is that, people who are queer are always just trying to ruin heterosexual relationships. Mm-hmm. And then that, of course, makes heterosexual people scared, I guess, about their relationships where they're okay, if there's a queer person around in our midst, they're definitely trying to get with my partner. So I think that's the way Nollywood and just media contributes, because I've never seen any positive reflection of a queer relationship in Nollywood. Is mostly just this
except
person
for,
is a
new
cheat.
Things that queer people yes. are trying to make, short film affair.
Okay.
But old Nollywood, when they have queer characters, it's usually just a cautionary tale. At the
exactly.
end, the person is killed or converted.
Absolutely.
That's just terrible. Terrible representation.
Yeah.
Do you think that there are any existing levels of protection for queer women in Nigeria from maybe the government or police? Do you think that queer women can safely escape abuse with the help of law enforcement in Nigeria?
I would disagree with that. And I also even say that I think the police poses even more of a threat to queer women, because I've seen stories. I mean, when I first used to hear about Kitu, I actually started to like read, like I would go to like Keto Diaries on Twitter because there's an account and like read like, and a lot of the stories where people talk about is like their parents going to the police and like getting the police to arrest them.
Yeah.
And of course you can trust Nigerian police. They sexually assault all women, not just queer women. So you can trust them to do that. And also, you know, physically assault you because, you know, your parents have already given them like the okay to do that as well. So like they might as well go the long run. And then, you know, it's just so scary because I can't imagine being in that position where like your parents are fully giving you up to the police. Like the police is already like a very, I mean, violent, like in fact, policing is just violent in general. So it's like now even more scary when the people who are supposed to love you, the people you love, have fully handed you over to them, and then they just like feel like they can do whatever because, you know, okay, who cares, you know? Yeah.
Are there even like any, is there any structure at all existing to protect queer women from abuse and from violence?
No, and actually there's no structure to protect women from violence in general. So before you even talk about women who are marginalized, like even talk about like CIS women or even classed women, you know, I know that there's a lot of times where, you know, even when classed women are abused, usually it's their family that comes through for them. Mm-hmm. Like even if their family has to still pay the police to give a shit. So it's like, really, what is the protection there if like you have to pay to get protection, but then so many people can't even afford that. And then also when you're now queer, I doubt you could even pay at that point because it's like you've already messed up by being queer. Like you're not even a good woman. So like, why should they even care? Because, you know, in the sense of when it's like a heterosexual woman who is abused, like they care because, oh, okay, like this is a good woman. She's just trying to like keep her home, and then her husband is like beating her up. So like, how do we step in? But then if it's like, if it's in the sense of, okay, this person isn't even like trying to keep up with heterosexual, like, or heteronormativity or like ideals, like, so why should they really like even bother? You know, so I guess like, it's like double violence, but then it's just.
Yeah. So just by being queer, society has written you off. Exactly. So if you're getting abused, it's like, oh,
that's just normal. Another day. Just go, like, just take it. Like whatever you see there, as they say, you just take it. So.
What are the things that, or some of the things that queer women have to do to adapt, to fit into this society that is willing to write them off or kill them or imprison them just for being queer? How are queer women adapting into this society?
I would say, like, I think one of the ways is just, like, people who don't even want to dress femme just choosing to, like, you know, present feminine and wear, like, dresses and skirts and things like that. It's really, like, tragic because I feel like even when you dress feminine, there's now a threat of like sexual assault. So then there's this just like double-sided, because of course, like, you don't want to be like sexually assaulted because you are gay, but then you also like don't want to be sexually assaulted because you're right. So it's like there's like no win-win. Like there's no way to like, you know, really like protect yourself. Like, because even women who like for example hijabis, like, you know, I'm sure that they are queer hijabis, but then even then they are scared of like just like still getting assaulted. So it's like, I feel like for a lot of times there's really no like way out for women, and then we're just feeling like we're stuck because you are in this loop of, okay, I have to like conform, but then queer women feel like, okay, now they even have to like date men. You know, I know there are a lot of queer women who do like date men or like try to like at least have a outside you know, cover.
Right.
Like, okay, let me date this man and then I can also like, you know, face my true sexuality. But then when your parents ask, okay, who are you with? You can be like, oh, this is my boyfriend, just because you want to have that barrier. Mm-hmm. But then there's the uncomfortability of your relationship where you're not even attracted to your partner and where you're not even interested. Because, you know, a lot of people will write like anonymous stories about how they got married and they know that they are gay.
Yeah.
They know that they are queer. And then I hate that there's this like reflection where people are trying to make it seem like, oh, the gay person is like trying to harm a heterosexual. And it's like, it's not that. Like, we would feel comfortable to date who we wanted if there was no, if homophobia didn't exist.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody wants to be in a relationship where they're not happy. Like, so like
society is saying, we know you are gay, but you have to be straight compulsorily.
Exactly.
But while you are compulsorily being straight, don't date deceive straight people.
Yes, don't, like, marry, don't deceive straight people. So like, which is like ridiculous.
They just want queer people to die, to be honest.
Like, there's no really, like, there's no out. Like, it's just,
Can we talk about, because we've talked about like intimate partner, can we talk about like abuse from like family, abuse from friends to queer people? There are people who come out to a very close friend who is perhaps heterosexual, and that person starts using that knowledge to blackmail them and mm-hmm. just keep them. Can you talk about that a bit?
I feel like even aside from blackmailing them, there's also been people who have told people's parents that, oh, my friend is queer and you don't know, and you're their parents, and it's like, what do you really want to get out of that?
Yeah.
Because like, do you think the parents is going to be like, oh, that's lovely, that's nice, like this is a Nigerian parent, and you're mm-hmm. going to them, you wouldn't even tell your parents that you had sex as a heterosexual. Yeah.
So why would you think it's okay to like go to someone's parent and tell them that they are queer? Like, you know, you already know that there's a stigma,
yeah,
and you already know that homophobia exists, so at that point you are definitely endangering them, and then you also being homophobic. I feel like that is why a lot of queer people are also scared about having heterosexual friends,
mm-hmm.
because there is always the like, okay, like this person is not going to do something really like personal, and which honestly sexuality shouldn't even be like, if in a world where like people felt comfortable to express,
yeah,
sexuality wouldn't be personal, you know, because heterosexuals tell you that they're heterosexual every day.
Yeah.
Like they remind you every day, they do things that
they put pictures of their partners everywhere.
Exactly. Like, yeah, you know, even in public, like you know that you have to know that I'm married to this person. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So why is it personal for us? It's just because people don't accept us, because people yeah. just like want to like harm us. So then it now becomes a subject that is touchy, where mm-hmm. it shouldn't have to be, you yeah. know what I mean? So when you now tell a friend, when you confide in a friend, and then you find out that the friend is like, you know, blackmailing you, or the friend set you up because of like, you know, personal, I guess, personal agenda,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just really horrible. And I feel like it's also one of the things that causes queer people to just like, a lot of queer people, I feel like, who stay away from having friends, mm-hmm. like who just like stay in their house, yeah. if that makes sense. And not because they want to, but because they just feel like if they do like, you know, getting intimate relationships, they are going to like, of course, there's no way your good friend is not going to know that you don't, or you date women. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Okay, let's also talk about abuse within the queer community. What are some of the ways that queer people can perpetrate harm to other queer people and abuse them?
I mean, in terms of like intimate, there's also, of course, there's intimate yeah, partner yeah. violence in well, queer relationships. But then outside of that, there's also like the queer community really being like focused on like, you know, class people. I remember that there was this like really popular like gay Nigerian that's tweeted that there would be, I think it was kind of like you know how in America they have gay pride.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, oh yeah, like we should do gay pride in Nigeria. But then I'm like, you're not really saying anything if you're not talking about how you're going to protect people who are lower income
yeah.
and coming to pride. Like, because obviously you have like people protecting you, or you have like, or your family members know that you are queer because, okay, maybe you came out to them and then you live in another country, or you have a passport, an international passport. Mm-hmm. So what are you really saying if you're saying we're going to have a queer pride in Nigeria, but you're not going to talk about how, like, how are you planning to protect people who will want to come? Or like, you know, for example, like people in relationships, people who are open about their queer relationships on social media, mm-hmm. but then, you know, they happen to also like live very shielded lives because they have money.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are the ways we're trying to protect queer people who are not like, who are lower income, queer people who may even be married to men
mm-hmm.
and have children with men, but then they are queer, you know
yeah.
what I mean? So like, they are obviously like in those relationships because, you know, they have to get married because of their parents, or like they have to get married for, you know, money, I guess. So anything of the sort. Like, we're just talking about like lower income queer people, like we need to do more to like, you know, extend love to them, because I feel like it's even tougher to like shield yourself from things like that. Like mm-hmm. once you have yeah. a situation like that going on. I guess also like talking about the way like queer people can also be like transphobic.
Yeah,
because, you know, absolutely. The queer community can also be really like CIS focused, or like also really focused on conventionally attractive bodies. Like, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm like out, like I feel like I'm kind of like, I don't know if to say pushed out, but like I feel sometimes like not accepted just because like my body looks different from the way other like, you know, other like femme girls are supposed mm-hmm. to look. Because, you know, the whole idea of femininity is like being tiny and being yeah. like, you
slender.
Know, exactly. So when your body doesn't look like that, like you can feel like, oh, the queer community doesn't really accept you. Like, you really have to find pages of lesbian couples who are fat, who are, you know, dark skinned, who are, mm-hmm. you know, so you're like, there's this account that tweets like essay couples, like mm-hmm. South African couples, exactly, that are mostly fat and dark skinned. So like my friend always sends me images from there, and yeah. it's really like positive, because mm-hmm. you know, you want to see couples that look like you. You don't want to only see lesbian relationships where they're both like femme
mm-hmm.
and they're both like, you know, maybe like 5'2 or 5'3 you know, and conventionally attractive, yeah. you know, that kind of idea. So
yeah, that's definitely some form of like emotional or mental abuse, or just like putting that narrative that you should look a certain way.
Exactly. It makes people feel like yeah. they can never have a queer relationship that's, you know, successful just because they don't look a certain way
like or exactly. have a certain amount of money. Actually, it's a thing in Nigeria where people are like, oh, you should only be out if you have money or if you have protection.
And it's like, that's
and
ridiculous.
They keep telling that to people, and it's like, some people don't even ever have like any perspectives of getting to a certain level of wealth.
Sure.
Are you
some
saying
people
that
don't have,
it should
don't
be suppressed
have,
forever?
Sorry to cut in, but some people don't even have the choice to not be out. Because I remember this account on Twitter, Kayode, and he talks about like not even wanting to come out, but then he was forced to come out mm-hmm. because somebody outed him to his parents.
Yeah.
So it's like, really, what are you telling that kind of person if you're telling them, oh, don't be out if you don't have money. It's like, I didn't want to be out anyway. Like, I was trying to keep it to myself, yeah. right? But then someone outed me. So what do I do from here? I have to be out. So, like, we really need to focus on, like, steering away from conversations that are like, oh, if you have money, then you can do this. Mm-hmm. Or if you have this, then you can. It's like, it's not productive.
And that's also what allows people to financially abuse other queer people.
Exactly.
Queer people who just, I mean, I've heard of stories where queer people get, like, younger queers and just, like, basically direct their life because they hold the financial means to do so.
Exactly.
Okay, can we talk about like the women's rights movement in Nigeria? Do you think that feminist organizations or women's rights organizations or gender-based violence response organizations are sufficiently inclusive of queer women and their experiences and their needs?
Mm. I think like one of the like biggest examples of this was, you know, like Femco tweeting something about being queer, I guess supporting LGBT. Queer people, you know, last year during the NSAS movement,
mm-hmm.
and people essentially like went in on them. But then I feel like retracting the statements doesn't really serve anybody, because it just like pandered to Nigerians. It's like mm-hmm. at the end of the day, Nigerians really don't care for you mm-hmm. or those group of women anyway, because I mean they've really turned against them. Like even if you're looking at after NSAS or everything that's happened after that, it's like they don't even care for you anyway. So like, what's the point of trying to pander when
mm-hmm.
they're still going to rush them, or they're going to say, oh, they stole money.
Mm-hmm.
So why at the end of the day, like they retracted that statement, and it just like makes everything look bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like if we're really talking about women's rights in Nigeria, I mean, aside from the fact that it's very cis focused, it's like there's also really no talk about like women who are not heterosexual, I guess. Like a lot of people or leaders in these organizations are married women.
Mm-hmm.
They have these ideas. I guess of course it's conditioning, and I can like forgive you for that. I can like make, you know, room for that, like to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you're not growing, it's like you're harming the people that you say you want to protect. Like if you want to really protect women, you have to be open to the idea that women are not all going to be like you.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be women who defer. And I guess that's what it takes reading, because I didn't wake up knowing about trans people. I didn't, even when I first, you know, came out as bi, I guess, it's not that, oh, you just wake up and you just say, oh, I understand what it means to be trans. Like, you have to really read. You have to really be open to understanding that if you're going to fight for freedom for all or equality for all, you can't just fight for your equality, because once you do that and you eliminate one side, that person's side that you're feeling like, okay, this person doesn't even have any, for example, like when there's a law passed and it just affects one set of people, and then before you know it, they're just arresting a bunch of other people for the law that they say that is supposed to just be fixated on
one group of people.
Right.
Yeah,
like, for example, like with France banning hijab, they think that's going to like stop people from being forced to wear the hijab, but then it's also going to constrain a group of women
who want to
wear hijab to their house. So it's like, what do you what do you really think? Like, when you make, when people make laws that like, or when people just feel like, oh, okay, because this person is like, this person has a different identity from mine and it doesn't really matter, but I can still fight for mine. It's like, you just like alienate a group of people, and then you also just make your points look weaker, because at the, like, once there's misogyny for one person, there's misogyny for all.
Exactly.
According to Nigerians, you go touch everybody.
That is it.
Okay. What do you think needs to change, based on what we've just talked about like women's rights organizations not being inclusive, there not being enough support for queer women who are in abusive situations? What do you think needs to change for queer women to feel safer, and not just feel safer, but be safer in Nigeria?
Definitely, like, an overhaul. I guess if you're looking at the people who are, you know, leading NGOs, like, mm-hmm. you definitely want to put at least a few queer women on. I mean, I wouldn't say to change everything, but at least like that's a start.
Mm.
You have to still put people who are focused on the movement and who won't just like sell out. Even if it's a queer, if you place a queer woman as a leader of an organization, you have to also give the room for her to bring ideas that, mm-hmm. you know, fit queer people, and not just, oh, put them there for like being the face. Whereas like you're also just having, you know, these like biases like flow through your company. It's like there's companies where they'll make a woman like the MD or the CEO, but then they only have like, if you look at the ratio of women to men hires that they have, it's like 10 to 1.
Yeah.
So really, who are you making that change for? Like, who are you making that? You're just making it just so that people will think that, oh, okay, you're progressive, whereas optics, like, you're not really making anything change.
Yeah.
So I think that NGOs should just like try to focus, if they're really trying to welcome the queer community, I guess, you know. But still, I don't even want to say, NGOs, I don't want queer people to just like fuck off. Like, if they're anti-queer, that's just their business. Yeah. Then let's just move away from that. And let's maybe have an NGO that is focused on queer people. Of course, like, we'll have to think about like safety,
mm-hmm.
in that sense. So not that we'll broadcast that it's for queer people, but then there will be a way for at least us to know that this is us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess that there's all these like languages that we use now. You know, there's all these terms, like even for example, sex workers, we use terms like GFE.
Yeah.
Where it's like girlfriend experience, for mm-hmm. example. And then FMTY, fly me to you.
Oh.
So yeah, so people that are not like, I guess, like in that community won't understand, you know, that's what it means. But mm-hmm. then sex workers who are in the community can get that when they mm-hmm. read the meaning, you know what I mean?
Right.
So we need to like create terms that just like let us know that, okay, this NGO is for queer people. We're not going to say queer, but then we'll read a language that we all know. So I guess that's like, that really opens up the platform to just like, okay, this NGO is for us, like by us. Let's go there. You know, so it's not really about getting people who don't want us to accept us. That will never be the motive.
Never be the motive. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Chiamaka, for sharing with me. Thank you, folks, for listening to this episode. If you or anyone you know is experiencing any form of violence as a result of their sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, and sex characteristics, please reach out to the Initiative for Equal Rights by visiting theinitiativeforequalrights.org, or reach out to us on social media at Tears Nigeria. That is TIERS Nigeria. Until the next episode, this is Q Convos by the Initiative for Equal Rights, and my name is Fidelia.
Thanks for listening to the Q Convos podcast, brought to you by the Initiative for Equal Rights, produced by 808 Extra. Kindly visit www.theinitiativeforequalrights.org to learn more.